Let's look at verse 13 several times together. But it is one of those messages which perhaps we should look at every month, week. It's a necessary one and a helpful, beneficial, truly a something you feed upon. Grow in grace. Matthew 22, our Lord said this about love. Verses 37 through 40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. This is it. This is the first. So when you talk about love, that's where you start. Love to God, the true God. Read on. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law. The Ten Commandments, the first four, are talking about toward God. Love God, don't take his name in vain, so forth. And the next six are toward man. Don't steal, don't kill, and so forth. So he said this love fulfills all the moral law. You see that? Love to God, love to your man, fellow man. And the prophets, he said. And the prophets. The design of God's word is to create a love for God. Worship of God, which in turn will make you love your brother. All right, 1 John 3. 1 John, little book of 1 John, almost before Revelation. So our Lord said, this is the commandment. This is it. Can you remember how many times the Lord said that? This is my commandment. Remember that? How many times he said that? This is my commandment, that you love me, that I love you. He said, it's not a new commandment. But it's the same that you heard from the beginning. What God told Moses. Well, look at this. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. John 3, 16. For God so in this way loved the world. People out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue unto heaven. God loved the people in such a way as to give his only begotten Son. Spare not his own Son. That's, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, unworthy as we are, unloved, but he loves us, his people. And we should be called the sons of God. Look at verse 14. So he says, and we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. This is one way. And you may know. And down in verse 18, little children, he says, let us not love in word, or that is not just say we do, or in tongue, but in deed, in action, and in truth, truly. Hereby we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. I want to know I'm a child of God, don't you? Chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 3, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested in the love of God toward us. Now you might want to write out to the margin here, John 3:16, because Brother Henry, this tells who God does love, doesn't it? And this was manifested in the love of God toward us. Who? Beloved. He said, beloved, that toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In Now herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. The only reason anyone loves God is when God first loves them. And to love one another. Read on. Stay with it. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God will love us. See that? Chapter 5, one more. Verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him, that begat, loveth Him also, that is begotten of Him. Everybody really loves God and loves Christ. Loves those who love God, love Christ. Alright, that's a fact. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and we'll say that, okay? Had to lay down the facts. The facts are God's true people love the living and true God. Now, I don't care how lovely someone seems, how sweet and all that, how moral and kind, if they don't love true living God. God described in His book, no matter what He says about Himself. If they don't love that God, you see, as He is, they love Him being sovereign. Don't you? Don't you love here of your sovereign God? Don't you love Him in being just, holy, righteous? All right, and fact, they love one another. I mean, God's people really love one another. It's not this fake. I love you, brother. You know. Yeah. And this is proof that God is in them, that Christ is in them, because this is unnatural love. It's not natural to love somebody who's not your flesh and blood. You know, it's just not natural. Especially somebody real different than you are. It's natural to love yourselves and love your family, but not your neighbor. So that's a miracle. All right. Now, this is these things here in 1 Corinthians 13. I like the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, where He says, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, blessed are those that mourn," and so forth. God's people all. They're all that way. All God's people are poor in spirit. All of them mourn over their sin. All of them are humble. All of them, right? But those are also exhortations, right? We need to be encouraged, in those things. Well, all of God's people love one another. They do. And these things, from the Spirit, this love that He's going to describe here is in all of God's people. It's there to a degree. All right? It's not perfect. All right? It's not perfect. That's why this is written, to encourage us, to exhort us, to teach us. All right? And our motive and what should inspire us, number one, what should inspire us the most is this is how our God is toward us. All of this. Kind, long-suffering. Are you with me? We need this. Everybody here needs it. This will help your marriage. This will help your family life. It will help you with your neighbor. It will help everything. Alright? Are you with me? Alright, now verses 1 through 3, we'll just skim through there. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, have not love, I become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal." Doesn't matter how articulate I am. If I don't have love to God and others, it might as well be gone. Verse 2, "Though I have the gift of prophecy," so many think they do, "and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, doctrine," in our case, though we might know the doctrines, If we don't have love, we're nothing. We truly don't love the God of the doctrine. Some people love, we've been talking with a woman who keeps talking about Calvinism, Calvinism, Calvinism. She loves Calvinism. Well, you know, I believe what Calvin believed, but that's not. And I said something to her about, I said, well, we like to refer to it as the truth. She said, well, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. I said, no, that's what John the Apostle said. I don't care if they abuse the term, that's what the Apostle said. Calvinism, the word's not in the Bible. Truth is. As much as I love the truths, we're not love the doctrine, per se, but it's the God who is described by God. Right? There's a difference. That's what that's saying. Read on. If I, though I had all faith and could do great things, and have not charity, I'm nothing. Though, verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, but do great and noble humanitarian things, and have not love, if I'm really not doing it in love to God and appreciation of Him for what He's done for me, and true love toward those I'm doing it for, you're wasting your time. Might as well not done it. Save your body. Save your goods. All right, what is true love? All right, here's something. Now, again, every one of us, when we read this, we're going to say, comes partial. But now it's there. But that's why we're saying to grow. Alright? Alright, let's read. Verse 4. Love, and the word charity, this is interesting. What the Bible calls charity, we call love. What we call love, the Bible calls charity. What do you think of when I think of charity? Giving. Could think of a better description of love. It says Christ loved the church and what? Gave himself for. So there you go. That's why the scripture, this is really a good word, charity. And charity is free. And charity is something you just want to do. Why? Not for taxes. All right, verse 4. Charity suffereth long. That's where we get the word long suffering. How long will true love suffer abuse? When you talk about suffering, that means suffer ill treatment or abuse. Now, how long? Let's take a parent and a child for example. You may use that many times. You take a parent, and here's a child, a rebellious child, an ungrateful child, an unthankful child, a resentful child, and does everything in spite of the parent when the parent has done nothing but love the child. How long is a parent going to put up with a child? Hello? If love is there, it's not going to quit, is it? It's not going to quit. True love. Suffered long. How long? How long has our God suffered us? How long has our God put up with us? All the days of our life. All the days of our life. So He said, you love one another as I love you. You put up with ill treatment. Just be glad you aren't treated like you ought to be treated. Right? Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love is kind. That's a good description of love. Love is tender. It's tender. Sweet. Considerate. Thoughtful. Think of somebody you know that's a lovely person. Is that not a good description? Your father? I mean, both of them. Kind, tender, considerate, thoughtful. your homeland and this family. Kind. Love is kind. Love is thoughtful. Love is tender. Love is tender. Whoever or whatever you love, you're tender toward it. You treat it tenderly, kindly. Love envieth not. Love envieth not. Love would rather see the one it loves prosper more than itself. Is that how you feel about that world, Kevin? You hope he grows up have and more, right? You know, man, what if he grows up rich and you're still scraping? You hope he'll get you a little bit. But no, you won't envy him, will you? You'll rejoice with him. Love would rather see the prosperity of a loved one than of themselves. John, the Apostle John, wrote over in, I think it's 3 John. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." He meant materially. Now, where was John? He was like old Robinson Crusoe on an island. Beloved, I sure, he said, I sure hope y'all will prosper. Even as your soul prospers. That's the important thing, but I hope you have. That's love, isn't it? Envieth not. Love envieth not prosperity. Love envieth not the gifts and talents of others. Again, I use your children. You hope they grow up to be smarter, more talented, richer. Just have everything. Do you not? You don't envy, you wouldn't envy it. Any of that at all. Read on. Love. This is church here now. This is how we love our brethren. But brother, let's say Brother John there gets a mammy. I don't think he's any danger of that, but if he did, let's say he did. Got a huge mansion, we all know. Since he think he is. John is doing well. He doesn't work MW anymore. He his rich uncle died. Wouldn't you? Would you rejoice, Brother Stan? Oh, Stan would rejoice. John doesn't have to make strings anymore. He's got to make that's love. He said, but why him, not me? Right? So let's keep it in context here at the church. Love vaunteth not itself. Verse 4. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. These go together. Not proud. Love vaunteth not itself. I know you've been around people that love to talk about themselves. But love now is truly interested in the other person. Truly. Interested in the other person rather than displaying their own knowledge and talents and all of that. Really. And again, I use your children as that example. Sure, I may never be over to the Barry's house. And Jeanette, she can tickle those ivories. She can really tickle. But Kevin was starting to play. Kevin, she said, play us something. Now, Kevin. Are you good here, Mama? See us about 34, 50-some years. And you might be as good as your mom. But Kevin's mother, tell you something, Kevin. Y'all listen to Kevin. Now, like I said, all of us come far short of these things, but this is the general tendency of every believer. That's it, these things. And I want you to take heart, too, if you feel a desire for this thing. If you just feel a desire to have this kind of love. take on. All right, verse 5. Love does not behave itself unseemly. That means get out of character. Now, we all do, but not all the time. Man's got a problem if he's mean all the time. We all get being out of shape. That means you, when you got shape, when you get bent out of it, but it'll go back, hopefully. But we all get bent out of shape, don't we? But love is not unseemly, though. That means, well, love is not. Love is courteous, love is considerate, love is polite, love behaves itself. We all act, you know, just bad at times, but that's not the general character of God's people. They're considerate and kind of one another. Read on. Love seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. Love doesn't seek its own rights. Will, way, desires, pursuits. That's like a man and a woman that get married. Well, people, this thing of careers, I understand that often both people have to work, but really, neither one of them have a, if they're really in love and married, neither one of them have a That's what you really are after. That means that's your life, career. That's my life. That's what I'm pursuing. And that's what the world does. There's a woman, or here's a man who's a doctor, and his wife's a lawyer, and they've got their separate careers, and they've got this little convenient marriage for tax purposes. Right? That ain't love. Marriage is a career. Right? That person you married, that when you took those vows, that's what you said. That, he is my career. Forgot that saying and said, she's your queen. I said, I do, I will, I sure. that's the career marriage itself. Seeketh not her own rights, will, desires, pursuits, but love. Seeking the other's desires to pursue. Again, I use your children. You save up all your money and you're going to give everything you earn. Why? Because you ought to do it, start doing it before you die. Alright, read on. Love is not easily provoked. Ooh. That hurt? Well, love now is not easily provoked. It's not touchy. Easily offended. Resentful. You ever been around somebody that walk on eggshells in fear of offending them? Don't do that. Love's not like that. Love's not like that. Because look at the next thing. Thinketh no evil. Love thinketh no evil. What love says is that they didn't mean that. You know, the person gets easily offended, easily provoked, and why didn't she say that? What'd you? Now, love says, oh, that just happened to me. I had a bad day. They didn't mean that. They weren't, you know, doing that to hurt me. I do that every now and then. That's what love says. Love thinketh no evil. Love is not suspicious. Love thinks the best. Now again, this is, we all come far short of this, don't we? But this reason this is written. To feed us, we might grow. We're going to chew on this right now. Well, get all the nourishment out of it you can. You're going to need it till Sunday. All right?
get all the vitamins out of this you can.
Love is not easily provoked. Pray that we might remember that tomorrow when the alarm clock rings. Thinketh no evil. Thinks the best, not suspicious, cynical. Nothing more unlovely than cynicism. Oh, and I'm mad about that. Look at the next thing. Verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. Love is never happy when somebody else, someone you love, fails or falls. You love somebody, you don't want to see them fall. Again, I use your children or your husband and wife as an example. You don't want to see them do anything bad or wrong. No. My dad said this: what a man is, he wishes others to be. If he's evil, he delights to see in other people. Because that justifies his own. You understand? That's not love, not like that. Love doesn't want to see somebody fail or fall. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. With the truth of the matter, this brings us to gossip. Love is not gossip. Oh, how we need this. Threefold criteria for repeating a matter, you know, we all do. We all repeat something. But if it's a brother or something that we're talking about, number one, we all consider, is this true? What am I about to repeat? Do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's absolutely true? Number two, is it kind? Number one would rule out most gossip. Because nobody knows the absolute truth of something. Did you hear say? Well, so-and-so said, wait a minute. Let's get to the fact. That would hold up in the court of law, wasn't going to roll. So-and-so said, well, what's your source? Throw it out. We're not even going to hear it. Don't take it as evidence. Number two is kind. It's what I'm about to repeat about so-and-so. Is it kind? Is it going to be kind? Number three, and this would rule out all of us, is it necessary? Do I need to repeat it? Does anybody want to benefit from it? We'd quit gossiping, wouldn't we, if we practiced, if we kept those three things in mind. So love rejoices not in iniquity, but in the truth of the matter. Christ is the truth. Christ said nothing but truth, didn't he? Nothing but truth out of his mouth. When he called somebody a snake, they were a snake. He looked at Nathaniel, a man of no doubt. Truth, nothing but truth. Let's be like that. Verse 7. Beareth. Love beareth all things. This word beareth, I want you to turn with me to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Not after Psalms. Psalms, Proverbs 10. The word beareth is the word cover. That's what the word is. Beareth. Like a tent. This is the word actually comes from thatched roof on a house. That's the old Greek, like a thatched roof. Nothing. It stirreth up strife.
If you hate somebody, you want to stir things up, want to cause them trouble. But love covers all sin.
We never go around repeating things about our loved ones, do we?
Cover that.
Even if we know it's true.
No, cover it up.
Look at chapter 11, verse 13. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit, he concealeth the matter. Or if you've got somebody, a friend that is a confidant, somebody you can confide in, you've got something. You've really got something. Somebody you know, keep a confidence. Chapter 17, verse 9. This is mentioned many times. Cover, love covereth a matter. Chapter 17, Proverbs 17:9 says, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth the matter, he's causing trouble. So love beareth all things. That's what it means. Read on back to the text. Got to hurry. Look at verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 13. Love beareth all things, covereth all things. The sight covereth the sight. So, love believeth all things. Love believes the best. Love has a bright outlook. That's why you married that boy. You had nothing. Right? Huh? Or that girl. When y'all got married and you had nothing. That's why you got married, wasn't it? You did surely marry him for his money. You, Jeanette, you surely married him for his money. And vice versa. No, love believes the best, has a bright outlook, positive outlook, believeth all things. Love believeth all things. Hopeth all things. You know, it's better to believe the best about somebody and be disappointed than to believe the worst and be wrong and cause trouble. You understand what that's? Let me repeat that. It's better to believe the best about somebody and then disappoint you. That is, think the best about them, but they disappoint you, than to believe the worst and be wrong. You've disappointed them, said. You've let them down. So what we need to say always is, they didn't mean that. They love me. I love them. Love hopeth all things. Love never gives up. Mothers have sons on death row in prison. He's a good boy. He's a good boy. I know. Just give him another chance, Your Honor. Right? Ain't none of us on death row, so we ought to hope all things at least for the brethren. Hope for the best. Never gives up. Hopes for the best. She'll come out of that. He'll come out of that. I've been there. I hope somebody had mercy on me. Yeah, they'll straighten up. I know. There have been some of you in here getting in some bad shape, but I want to slap you. And I get the same way. That's been it. I get the same way. Maybe you want to slap me. We'll come out of it. Right? The Lord brings us out of it. That's what we got to hope. Boy, Roy, he's acting bad. I wish he'd straighten up. If he doesn't straighten up, He'll come out. Lord bring that out. That's what love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. That sounds like suffereth all things, but it's just endureth all things. Love will go through anything. Once again, as you all, when you first got married, who was I talking to? Been married 27. Who was I talking to today on the phone? Anybody here? Huh? Yeah, that's your cousin. But anyway, those of you who've been married a long, long time, you took those vows to love each other in sickness, health, sorrow. Well, how did it go? I do the ceremony. I can't remember. For richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, for sickness and poverty or health or whatever it is. And you do. You started out poor. And you go through things. Trials, sickness, poverty, disappointments and all that. But love endureth. Love endureth those things. Why? Because it loves it. Didn't marry for the house. You lose the house. You still got the one you love. Right? Right. Love endureth all things. All right? Verse 8. Love never fails. That's how it concludes. True love never fails. Honey, I don't love you anymore. Well, it's true and false. If you don't love it right, it's false. You never did to begin with. Love never fails. True love. Endureth. In light of what we just read, endureth all the way. Now, you can't help it. You know, you're unsaved people, that's the reason there's no real love outside Christ. You understand? That's why the scripture says, God is love, he that knoweth God loveth, he that knoweth not God loveth not. It doesn't matter. There's God in his mercy and his sovereign providence for children's sake, for peace's sake, for a lot of things' sake, for society's sake, keeps people together and gives them some semblance of love, even among unbelievers. Right? But real love, Christ-like love, this kind of love, only comes from Christ. That makes sense? Sure enough. It only comes from God. This is not natural. This is not natural indeed. That's the reason divorce is 60% now. And I understand that people that are unsaved and getting divorced and all that, but there's no excuse between believers. Unless one of them leaves, one of them is just an absolute reprobate and a monster, and it's clear, that'll be clearly revealed. And you can't do anything about that. And you still love the person, but they won't have anything to do with it. You can't do anything about that. Can you? But if you're a believer, you're something. Love that thing. Our Lord, that's the reason he said, love your enemies. That's what he did then. What God did when we were enmity. Well, love never fails. If it's of God, now it's forever. Whatever the Lord does is forever. Y'all need those things? I do. Well, read on down. We know in part. Now, he's talking about those things that people coveted. There are people that wanted to preach, there are people that wanted the gift of languages, and people that wanted to have a part in the church and things like that. He said, we just know in part. Well, I sure wish I knew what the preacher so and so knows. He just knows in part. If Paul said that, Henry Mason is still learning. Just know it in part. We prophesy in part. Yeah, I'd like to have his knowledge of the scripture. But really, we just know in part. And read on. He said, when Christ has come, everything we've ever done or known or whatever you done away with, it won't matter if I was a preacher or swept the front porch. Huh? What big deal? You do whatever you God do? Don't envy those things. It's all will be done with. It's all will be nothing.
Sure wish I could play the piano like Sherry.
Sherry wishes you could play the piano. So you can play the piano. Not Sherry. That's nothing. We're going to hear music. And Sherry will think, I've never played a note in my life.
And we hear spake as a child. I understood as a child.
In other words, I don't wish that I was back. Wish I could do things as I did when I was a child. I've outgrown that. So this is where we're to be spiritually. I thought as a child, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Don't envy those things. Those things are going to pass. Verse 12. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also know. None of us really know anything. We're just repeating. We're like a dog. I've got the smartest dog. I do. I've got the smartest dog that I know of. He's just a dog. He's not smart as me. He's just a dog. And that's us. Think the smartest human being, what is it? Just a smart human being. Big deal. And all this is going to be done away with when he who is wisdom shows up. Now verse 13. And now abide these three things. We live by faith. That is, we don't live by sight. We live by faith in God's word, an unseen God. But this is His word. We take everything from His word that we believe. We live by faith. Hope. We hope. We have strong hope, a good hope through grace. We have a firm hope that is from the heart. We believe that we're going to receive the things that God promised here. All right? And charity, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Because it abides forever. The faith and hope are going to give away. We're not going to live by faith in heaven. We're going to live by sight. So what will it matter in most faith yet? We're going to actually have His arm around us in glory. And touching, handling, like John said, we've handled it. And we won't have to hope anymore. So what would it matter? Here's a fellow who had a lot of hope. Here's a fellow who didn't hardly have any. Don't need it anymore. But love, that's always going to be there. But perfect. Perfect. So he says in verse 1 of chapter 14, follow after charity. Follow after charity. Pursue it. When you follow after, when you're after something, you're after it, right? Follow after it. Go after it. Be a lover. That's what it means to be a lover. And be a peacemaker. That's what our Lord said. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those that, was it Peter said, provoke one another to love. We provoke one another to anger enough. We need to start. I'm going to make you love me, Roy Baldwin. I don't want to be so nice to you. You got to love me. Provoke one another to love. That's what that meant. Isn't that what our Lord did to us? Provoked us to goodness of God. He provoked us to love. We provoked Him to anger. And yet His love poured out. I'm going to win that boy. He's going to love me. Follow after. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. God's people are all lovers. God lovers and people. All right, let's stand. Our Father, we hope that this will be much more than words and doctrine. We ask that you would, by your Spirit, plant these words in our heart, the seed, plant it, water it, make it to grow for your glory. Here it is, the Father glorified, that we bear much fruit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we ask for this greatest of all things, love. Love for thee, supreme man. Love for our brethren. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Dear this spirit.